companies are basing hundreds of millions, if not tens of billions of dollars of inventory decisions on data that struggles to keep up, on data that doesn't say your shipment was late yesterday. Where Project 44 has the high fidelity data to enable better decisions.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, and I am your host, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And before we kick off today's show, I'd like to let you know about a new feature of the podcast that I'm trying out for the month of June. And that is listeners' stories. So I'd like you to send me your favorite supply chain story, be it in an email or in a message. You can email me at tom.raftery@sap.com, or you can message me on Twitter or LinkedIn. If you send them in audio format, I'll play them on the show. Otherwise, I'll read them out. Your favorite supply chain stories. It can be a win that you had, some adversity you overcame, some funny story. And the best stories will get played on the show. Thank you for that. Now on with the show. And on the show today, I have Christian as my special guest. Christian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Christian Piller, Vice President of Value Engineering at Project 44. Project 44 is the world's leading advanced visibility platform for shippers and logistics service providers. Project 44 connects, automates, and provides visibility into key transportation processes to accelerate insights and shorten the time it takes to turn those insights into actions.
Okay, now in English, Project 44 is a company I suspect that is very B2B and so isn't very consumer focused, or maybe that's the wrong way to put it. Maybe a lot of people haven't heard of Project 44. It might be a more diplomatic way to put it. If you were explaining Project 44 to my 10-year-old kid, who or what are Project 44? What do you guys do?
Yeah, it's a great question. I always think about it in terms of, I'm explaining Project 44 to my mom, who's not very tech forward. But the way I always describe it is, I think the old way of doing things, EDI, email, spreadsheets, that's like watching a movie on a VHS tape. It's bulky, it's stale, the quality is not that good. You have to have some old VCR to actually watch it. Where Project 44 is really like Netflix. It's new, it's digital, it's lightweight, you can take it with you. Think about downloading movies on your iPhone or your Kindle when you're taking a flight. That's Netflix, and that's really what Project 44 does for business to business. So like you said, a general consumer, like if I wasn't in the industry or trying to explain it to my brother, who's just a, you know, general buyer of things from Amazon, mm-hmm. He wouldn't know. But if you talk to somebody on the other side of the transaction at Amazon, they certainly know who Project 44 is.
So you're back end. You're a bit like us in SAP. I mean, the vast majority of people, I suspect, globally have never heard of SAP and yet unbeknownst use our software daily.
Yeah, absolutely. I talk about SAP a lot more now than I used to. Though when I was a student, you know, undergrad in business school, I certainly heard of SAP. I'm actually surprised at the number of people that have never heard of SAP. And so that's kind of amazing to me. But yeah, absolutely. You know, Project 44 is a partner of SAP, and we're very excited about that. So it is kind of interesting that we have this unique, awesome partnership, and a lot of the things that people get delivered on a daily basis are in some way, shape, or form powered by SAP or Project 44, yet they've never heard of either one.
Yeah. And you won an award. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we did. We're pleased that SAP named us as the 2020 Pinnacle Award as the Cloud Partner Integration of the Year. So it's very exciting for us, for one of SAP's products, the Logistics Business Network, that Project 44 is selected as a Partner of the Year. It's very exciting.
Nice. Project 44 is a cloud delivered product. I'm taking it then.
Yeah, it's SaaS based. It's, you know, cloud based. It's a SaaS, software as a service. So we're able to integrate into the ELD and telematics devices of the trucks, so the GPS devices of the trucks that you see driving down the street, driving down the highway, as well as, you know, the systems that plan and drive and execute decisions for global supply chains.
Okay. And who's a typical customer? I mean, what is it that you, I mean, you said at the start exactly what it is you do, and you were very specific and used a lot of language, but who's a typical customer and what problem are you solving for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we have customers all over the world, global customers, Fortune 500 companies, companies that people buy from on their daily life, or you're driving down the street, you see their brick and mortar stores, whether it be in Spain or Chicago. So what we do is we help them reduce some of the manual processes that they have. Part of it's workflow automation. So as an example, a lot of the global supply chain is still run on email and spreadsheets. One analyst on one side of a transaction emailing another asking where a truck is. That's a pretty inefficient way to do something when you think about, you know, a company like Amazon or Walmart having tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of shipments a day, and just a group of analysts on both sides talking to each other. That's inefficient. So Project 44 integrates with the carrier and the customer and makes that whole effort go away, so those analysts, those talented individuals, can spend more time on trying to decrease costs for their organization, improve service for their customers, or innovate on a customer experience. And you know, we think about, you and I were talking a little bit before we went live about, you know, current COVID-19 and social distancing and what's going to happen to that. And we're able to take a lot of the manual work away so those talented individuals on both sides of the conversation can think about how can we manage our supply chain and innovate for our customers after COVID is behind us, or the transition from where we are now to maybe 18 months, 2 years in the future when we're back to having more normal, less socially distanced face-to-face interaction.
Will we ever go back to normal? I mean, I gotta think that, you know, lots of people who never ordered stuff online or who ordered very occasionally stuff online are now having to order almost everything online. So, A, and this is kind of a two-pronged question for you, A, are you seeing a massive uptick in the amount of shipments that are happening right now? And B, do you think it will go back to the way it was before, or will this be the new normal or the new abnormal, as I've heard people call it?
The new abnormal, that's the first time I've heard that. I kind of like that, though. I don't know. I think we'll actually get a hybrid of both. I do see a lot of shipments increasing, whether that be through the data we have that Project 44 has, conversation with friends that still work at other organizations. I spent about an hour on the phone yesterday with a good friend of mine that works at Apple, and she was talking about some of the challenges that they've had. Also friends on, you know, the consulting side that work with massive companies and said they've seen an increase of 90 to 110x in shipment volume, which is really crazy. I do think, though, that we'll have to go back to a sense where you can go into a brick and mortar store. As an example, I want to buy a new couch. Mm-hmm. I could buy it online. I could see the color of it. There's some virtual reality where I can, you know, take a picture of my space and see if it fits in there. But there's no experience where I can actually sit on it and see if I like it. And, you know, just being able to walk into the store and buy a couch, I think it's going to be something that's going to be needed again in the future.
So ecosystem-wise, I'm still trying to figure out where it is you guys fit in. So you mentioned, you know, the likes of Apple, the manufacturers. Are they your customer, or is it Apple's shipping partners who are your customer, or is it, you know, where in that? Let's say I am a manufacturer of widgets with my headquarters either in Europe or the US, and I've outsourced my manufacturing to some company in Southeast Asia, and I have customers globally that I'm trying to get my widgets to. Where do you fit in that ecosystem?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me take that in a few different ways. So a company like Apple could be, and we'll walk through that example, though Apple is not. I was just making the reference that I was talking to a friend of mine that works at Apple. Mm-hmm. But say, for example, we are a manufacturer of widgets. So you're based in Spain. So we'll say it's a Spanish-based company that makes widgets. Mm-hmm. That Spanish-based company is going to have suppliers all over Europe and perhaps all over the world. If you think about raw materials providers in China, maybe some high technology that comes out of Silicon Valley in the US to power some circuit board that they need to make the widgets. We, Project 44, can connect with that widget provider itself and have the, provide them the visibility into all of those global shipments, regardless of mode, coming into their facilities in Spain. We can also have the, provide that widget manufacturer the visibility to provide to their customers if they're sending their widgets to Germany or they're sending their widgets back to the US. And again, that's regardless of mode. So we can cover all global modes. If you think about the ecosystem, we can also partner with the supplier of the high technology that I mentioned in this example in Silicon Valley. So we can also partner with them. They can see the raw material flows inbound to them, and then they can see the outbound shipments to their customers, like this widget manufacturer in Spain. So if you think about our ability to integrate with the widget manufacturer in Spain, providing visibility to their customers, and then also their suppliers providing visibility to their customers, and you can go backwards, supplier of supplier of supplier, or forward, customer of customer of customer. At each point in that example, we're able to help them save costs, help them automate processes, help them improve performance. And that's really where you get to the power of Project 44 in being able to provide the global economy a tremendous amount of value.
Okay, interesting. And I got to ask, Project 44, where does the name come from? There's got to be a story behind that.
There is. So I actually have to pull it up here to make sure I get it right. There is the old US Route 66, which was an older way of getting from A to B in the US. There was a period of time where there was a intersection or a roundabout that was Highway 44, that was a new way of getting from A to B. So when we think about our revolution of transportation, there's the old way of doing things, which is EDI and spreadsheets. And when we think about ourselves and API and New Age, again, that example of VHS versus Netflix, that's just another example. EDI is the old way, and we're going back to our roots, talking about Project 44, which is the way of circumventing the old way of doing things.
Okay, super, super. And where, I know you're based in the US, you personally, but where do Project 44 operate? Are you global? Are you regional? Or how does that work?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're absolutely global. I'm based here in Bucktown in Chicago. Our offices are here in Chicago. We have a sales office in Boston, as well as Paris, France. And then we acquired a company, a Denmark-based company in Aalborg, Denmark, called Gatehouse Logistics at the end of 2018. So we have an office in Aalborg. We have sales professionals in several states throughout the U.S. and then countries throughout Europe. And as we think about expansion and what we're going to do, APAC, LATAM, those are definitely the next geographies that we're going to get into.
Nice. You recently became part of the SAP Logistics Business Network. How is that helping Project 44 and Project 44's customers and SAP's customers, let's be honest?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So again, that's where we won that Pinnacle Award, and we're very happy about that. And there's a few ways it works. If there's a customer that's already an SAP customer, they're already a user of SAP LBN, we're able to help further automate some processes and onboard the customer's carriers. So they have connection into their global carriers. In that example, we were talking about the Spanish widget manufacturer. They're able to see all of the shipments that all of those carriers provide. In transit visibility, when you think about going from San Francisco in the U.S. to Seville, Spain, the carrier is going to be a big part of that visibility. And again, we're able to connect into them. So for us, it's been helpful where SAP's customers have SAP's brought us in. SAP's customers are able to rapidly onboard with us. So we get a tremendous amount of value out of that. And I think for SAP, our unique value is our global carrier network connectivity, where we just have tens of thousands of carriers globally. And SAP's customers are able to get rapid time to value when partnering with Project 44 through SAP's logistics business network.
Excellent. Now, we said before I turned on the recorder that we might ask about future plans, and you said there are some you may and may not be able to talk to, but where do you see this sector and Project 44 going in the next 5-10 years?
There's a tremendous amount of value there. There's still so much ahead of us. More regions, deeper into regions. I think the real value, though, is right now Project 44 has the highest fidelity data of any visibility provider on the market. That high fidelity data enables shippers to make better decisions through enhanced planning processes. So when I think about the old way of doing things where, you know, a customer or a shipper customer may not have known that a shipment was picked up late yesterday because they missed the email. Companies are basing hundreds of millions, if not tens of billions of dollars of inventory decisions on data that struggles to keep up, on data that doesn't say your shipment was late yesterday. Where Project 44 has the high fidelity data to enable better decisions. So strategic long-term planning, supply chain planning, network redesign. And when we talked about the new normal or the new abnormal, high fidelity data is really going to be needed to fully contemplate what went wrong, what's the potential to not fix it in the future, but mitigate the potential risk again if we have another global pandemic, also planning for more regional, national, natural disasters like hurricanes in Southeast US or tsunamis in APAC. High fidelity data is going to need to be made or is going to need to be used to make those decisions. I don't see any other way forward than having the highest quality of data for all of your shipments.
Sounds reasonable. Okay, Christian, we're coming to the end of the podcast. Is there any question I haven't asked you that you think I should have? Any topics that we've not addressed that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
One of the questions that Project 44 gets a lot, whether it be directly or indirectly or, you know, just kind of quote unquote hurting the market, is what is real-time visibility's ROI? Like, why would a shipper customer, regardless of who it is, why would they care? And the answer is that real-time visibility is still such a nascent space. There's so much blue ocean ahead of us, and I don't think corporations, global Fortune 2000 companies have fully realized the value of real-time visibility. And it's something that I hope they really do soon. Prior to COVID, I think real-time visibility was maybe a nice to have or seen as a luxury, but not something that was fundamental to execution of business today and planning for tomorrow. But I hope after COVID that they really realize it's an absolute necessity and something that's necessary to run their business on and effectively plan for the future, like you said, the next 3 to 5 years.
Interesting. Yeah, because I've had a number of conversations with people in this podcast, obviously, and otherwise as well. And so many people have said that, yeah, the pandemic, the coronavirus outbreak, is really giving the digitization of supply chains a kick in the ass. And, you know, it's maybe I should say a kick in the behind. And that seems to be what you're saying as well. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Project 44 is the first step in anybody's supply chain digitization, starting with in-transit visibility. And, you know, we'll get deeper into planning decisions. We'll get deeper into the four walls of any supply chain, both on the carrier and shipper side. And supply chains of the future will have to be digital. Supply chain digitalization, and I usually mess up that word, but I think I got it that time. is just starting, and it is what is necessary for the future. And as you said, I hope it really is a kick in the ass.
We can call it a burning platform, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's been great, Christian. If people wanted to know more about Christian or about Project 44 or about any of these things, where would you have me direct them?
Well, if they want to know more about me, they're happy to shoot me a message on, or they're welcome to shoot me a message on LinkedIn. But if they want to know more about Project 44, definitely encourage them to go to project44.com. Request a demo. We have sales development representatives that monitor that chat, and they'll get right on there with you and you know, connect you with whatever resource of Project 44 that you want to know. I also encourage people to read some reports from, you know, just Google real-time visibility, Project 44, whatever it is, and read some third-party reports, third-party validation. Again, SAP's award is big third-party validation for us, so definitely appreciative of that.
Cool. Super. Christian, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tom. Have a good day.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast in iTunes. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.